Thank you. You may be seated, okay? I won't talk to you for a few minutes before I start preaching, okay? I am 90, and I've been introduced in all kinds of ways. And every once in a while, somebody will say, Brother Sisk, I can't believe you're 90 years old. I mean, you know, you look so young. No, most people think you're just 90. I don't know how many times in the last year since I turned 90. For some reason, when you get to a certain age, that they think, okay, it's all over, okay? And time after time, I've been in a lot of meetings and so forth, and I've heard this statement more in the last year than ever in my life. Brother Sisk, we want to have you one more time. And when they say that, I always think, one more time before what? Okay. Now, I know what they're thinking, one more time before you die. But God's been so good to me. Since I've turned 90, I think I have missed two Sundays preaching somewhere around the world. And occasionally, someone will say, Brother Sisk, how do you keep going? And that's pretty simple, okay? Number one, by the grace of God. And number two, by the prayers of God's people. And could I ask you this morning, I have a real heavy schedule. Easter Sunday, I did not have a meeting. So I had planned to go to my son's house and watch NCAA basketball. And I called my son and I told him I don't have a meeting on Easter Sunday. I'd like to come. And he said, Dad, I would love for you to come. But, you know, there's always that conjunction, okay? I'd love for you to come, but that's the busiest week of my year. And he said, I'm going to be leaving home every morning at 5:45, and I won't get back home until about 6 o'clock. So I didn't want to sit in his house all by myself all day, amen? And I got to thinking, I'm in Phoenix, Arizona, and where better could I go for the Easter week than to Lancaster? And there's not a better place in the whole world. I've loved this place. In 2002, I resigned as president of Baptist International Missions Incorporated and actually had no real idea exactly what I was going to do. Now, I had some plans, but then I came out here in June to preach in the leadership conference. And I realized when I got out here that Dr. Mark Rasmussen, Dr. Paul Chappell, had my future all planned out. Now, they hadn't said a word to me about it, okay? But really, they didn't present it like this is your future here. But as soon as I got out here, they began to say, Brother Sisk, since you resigned as president of BIMI, why don't you come to West Coast Baptist College and teach missions for one semester? And I thought, that's a good idea. Number one, I'll be away from Chattanooga and be out of Dr. James Ray, who followed me as president, be out of his hair and so forth. And not only that, I'd like to go out and associate with those people in the college. I heard one time where somebody said, if you want to stay young, associate with young people. And I've always wanted to stay young. Now, you get older, but just because you get older, you don't have to get old. But the rest of that statement was, if you want to get old in a hurry, try to keep up with them, okay? So I'm not trying to keep up with you. But it is a great joy to be with you. And you are fortunate to be here. You say, well, you don't know my schedule. You don't know how hard I have to work to. But hey, those things make no difference whatsoever. You think about it. You get to be a part of a Bible college, a church that is literally touching the entire world. People, the staff members that go out from week to week, and they are accepted as the experts in various fields and so forth. And you get to see them every day. That's a wonderful thing. So don't take for granted your time here. And just enjoy every minute of it. Life is too short to hold grudges and to always be wanting to be somewhere else. Right. And by the way, enjoy every season of your life. I've loved to be a teenager. I loved it when I was a young adult. I loved it from different stages of life. And by the way, I love being old. I mean, people help you. Even ladies get up and give you their seats, you know. And everybody wants to help you across the street or whatever. So enjoy every. Hey, this is a part of your life. And don't just be thinking, well, I'll be 4 years, I'll be out of here, 2 years, I'll be. No. Enjoy every minute of every day that God gives you. And thank you, staff. Thank you, Dr. Chappell. Thank you, Dr. Getz, Dr. Rasmussen. And I could go on and on thanking people for all that they have meant to me. And thank you this morning for the opportunity to speak to you. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and I hate to do this to you, but you need the exercise. So please stand again for the reading of God's Word, okay? Acts chapter 16. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, and then you have one of the most unusual statements in the Bible. And were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach. Wow. Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach? To evangelize? Thank God he went on and said, in Asia. They was forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered them not. And they passed by Mysia and came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision immediately, notice the word we, Luke joins the team here. Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down, and spake unto the women which restored thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Lord, thank you for the infallible, inerrant, inspired, preserved Word of God. Speak to our hearts this morning through it. And Lord, I love this school. I love these students. And we want the very best for them. And I pray, dear God, that you'll help me to be a blessing to them today. I realize that you're the vine and I'm just a branch. And without you, I can do absolutely nothing. So, Lord, I yield myself to you today to use me for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, we find these words. And unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that, now listen to it, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I'd like to think with you this morning on just the little word open. Open. Okay? So let's just think about that word open. And number one, let's think about the fact that Paul had an open mind. What does that mean? An open mind. Now, he thought he was going back to Asia. But evidently, Paul spent some time every day asking God, God, where do you want me to be today? What do you want me to do today? And he had planned to go back to Asia, where he'd been before. But he was forbidden by the Holy Ghost. Then he thought, okay, maybe Bethania. But the Spirit forbade him not to go there. But the bottom line is, Paul had an open mind. You remember the story in the Old Testament when Samuel heard God speaking, he thought it was Eli. And so he went to Eli three times. And finally, Eli said, Samuel, evidently God's speaking to you. So you go back and lay down. If he speaks again, just say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us as God's people had an open mind? Now, what does that mean? That means that we will listen to God and realize that God knows more about where I should be than I know myself.
That's right.
An open mind. Wouldn't it be good if every morning when you came to chapel, you had an open mind and you were saying, now, God, speak to my heart this morning. Even though there's an old man preaching that it's kind of senile, let me hear what he says. Not only that, let me do what he tells me to do. He had an open mind. Now, some of you got your mind all made up. In other words, I'm going to be a basketball coach. I'm going to be a soccer coach. I'm going to be a school teacher. And you've got your mind made up. And by the way, it's not bad to make plans. If you don't plan, you plan to fail. But even with our plans, there ought to always be this thought, if the Lord will. And we ought always to be ready to change our mind if God leads us. So Paul had an open mind. He wanted to go back to Asia. God said no. All right, I go to Bithynia. No. Okay, God, where do you want me to go? So he goes down to Troas. And he's glad that he went down there. Because there, a man by the name of Luke, a historian and a physician, joined his team. That's a wonderful thing. Think about it. Paul had that thorn in the flesh, and everybody knows what it was, and nobody really knows. And evidently, it was some kind of a physical problem, though. And Paul prayed three times, God, remove this, God, remove this, God, remove it. But God didn't remove it. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. And as Paul travels, he goes down to Troas, and lo and behold, God gives him a private physician to travel with him. Is God good to his people or not? The provisions and the leadership of God is an amazing thing. Now, at Troas, God opened the door for Paul to go into Europe rather than to Asia. And we certainly ought to thank God that he did that, because it was from Europe that we got the gospel. So Paul listens, and he has an open mind, and then he sees a vision. And there's a man from Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And immediately they realized, okay, that's where God wants us to be. By the way, the best place in the whole world is where God wants you to be. Whether you believe it or not now, God knows more about where you need to be than you know about. He went to Philippi. And when he went to Philippi, by the way, my favorite book in the whole Bible, and I know you're not supposed to have favorites, but my favorite book in the whole Bible is the book of Philippians. And I'm glad he went to Philippi. And Paul and Silas, and now Luke, they go to Philippi. You remember that they saw a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. When they got over into Philippi, which is in Macedonia, they didn't see a group of men. There was no synagogue. That's where they usually went. But evidently, there were 10 Jewish men in Philippi, so they didn't have a synagogue. But they went out by the riverside, and lo and behold, here are some women out there. And so they go and sit down with the women and join that prayer meeting. If God closes one door, don't worry about it. God's not through with you. God will open another door for you. So he had an open door to go to Europe. And then, sitting there with those women, Paul opened to them the Word of God. You say, wait a minute, Brother Sid. The New Testament wasn't even written. But guess who was going to write most of it? So at sitting there with those women, Paul opened to them the Word of God. And by the way, that is the most important thing in all of the world. Not what I think, not what somebody else thinks, but what thus saith the Word of God. And so there was a lady there by the name of Lydia and the other women. And Lydia was evidently a wealthy lady, a seller of purple and so forth. And think about it. Paul said it with them, and they're having a prayer meeting. And Paul says, ladies, have you considered Jesus Christ? See, they were Jewish people. Now, he didn't stand up and preach. He just sat down there and was talking to them. But that's preaching, okay? The word preach is not just used for somebody standing up on a platform and beating on a piece of wood and hollering and so forth, okay? But they communicated to them the gospel. And can't you imagine Paul saying, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He lived all of his life without any sin whatsoever. He healed people. He taught people. He opened blinded eyes. He made the crippled to walk. Oh, can't you imagine Paul just going over all of the things about Jesus Christ? And then he probably said to those ladies, hey, by the way, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's going to write this later. But he's preaching to them now. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he just went through the gospel. Now, he's going to write this later, but he's opening to them the Word of God. Guess what? If you're saved this morning, one day, it might have been your mother when you were a child. It might have been a Sunday school teacher. It may have been a youth director. It may have been a preacher, but somebody opened the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So Paul opened to these ladies the Word of God. Hey, by the way, when you're soul winning, when you're preaching, whatever you're doing, keep in mind, don't neglect the Word of God. Your word doesn't necessarily have power. But the Bible is the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God. And by the way, it's not outdated. It's not irrelevant for your generation. Somebody said to Spurgeon about defending the Word of God. And he just said, defend the Word of God, defend the Word of God. That's like talking about defending a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. Just let him out of his cage. You say, well, people today, they don't believe the Word. It doesn't matter whether they believe it or not. That doesn't change it. The Word of God will do the work of God. Don't ever neglect the Word of God. So Paul opened the Word. And then look what happened. God opened Lydia's heart. Huh? God opened Lydia's heart. Somebody said that's the first open heart surgery, okay? He opened her heart. That's what happened to you. One night, I went to a Youth for Christ meeting as a lost person, and I heard the Word of God. And a preacher followed me down the aisle, and he gave to me on my knees that night the Word of God. And God opened my heart. Now, Lydia had to obey. By the way, God can speak to your heart, but in order for that to be efficient for you, you have to obey what God said. The hyper-Calvinists have in their 5 points of Calvinism, one of the points is irresistible grace. And they say, once God begins to deal with your heart, it is irresistible. You cannot resist the grace of God. And by the way, evidently they haven't read the Bible. Because Philip, when he was preaching, he said, you, like your fathers, do always resist the Holy Ghost. You can resist the grace of God. By the way, all of the other 4 points are bad too. You say, well, you're out of date, Brother Says. You haven't listened to, you're right, and I'm not going to listen to them. By the way, you shouldn't either, amen. Stay with the Word of God. Paul opened to them the Word of God, and God opened Lydia's heart. And she obeyed. And not only that, she evidently evangelized her whole household. The people that worked for her, her family, she evangelized, and all of them got baptized. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. God opened Lydia's heart, and Lydia obeyed. And when she obeyed, guess what she did? She opened her house. You say, well, what in the world does that mean? I think it means this. Once Lydia got saved, she recognized the lordship of God. Come into my house. Let me give my house to God. And by the way, evidently, a lot of people today, they want Jesus as their Savior, but they don't want Him as their Lord. But the Bible says, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Could I suggest something tonight, or this morning, whatever time it is? If you're saved, He's your Lord. Lydia said, here's my house. Use it. And by the way, tradition tells us that the first place of the meeting of the church at Philippi was in the house of Lydia. She understood. Now that I'm saved, I belong to God. Remember what Paul said? What? No, you're not. You're not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are Christ. Wouldn't it be good today, number one, if we'd sit here with an open mind, and if God would say to me, I want you to be a missionary, I want you to be a preacher, I want you to go here, I want you to go there, rather than arguing with God, we would have an open mind, and we would say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Like Abraham, when he was told to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, here am I. Here am I, like Isaiah, when he heard the voice of God saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And the average West Coast Baptist man says, here's my sister, send her. No. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. By the way, That was a pretty generic call. Here am I, send me. Every preacher I preach for is young compared to me, okay? But I was just with this young preacher. From the time I got there, he began to tell me how wonderful it would be to be a missionary. I would love to be a missionary. He kept saying that over and over. I'd give anything if God would call me to the mission field. And one day we were eating lunch, and I'd heard it so many times. And I said to him, I said, young man, do you really want to be a missionary? Oh, yes, I do. I said, okay, why don't you resign your church? You've already been in Bible school. Find a mission field. That won't be hard. There's so many fields that have nobody to preach to them. Find a mission field. Do your deputation. Go to the mission field. Win people to the Lord. Train them, disciple them, baptize them. Establish churches. Train leaders. And even if God didn't call you, He'd probably forgive you. Could I suggest this morning? There's probably a lot of people sitting here today that if you would have an open mind, and that means speak, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll be anything you want me to be. I'll say anything you want me to say. I'll give anything you want me to give. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I had the privilege in October of last year to go back to Japan. And I only spent 10 years as a resident missionary, 10 years as a Far Eastern director, and spent a lot of time in Japan. But I never feel more at home than when I land in Osaka, Japan. And I had the privilege to go to the Sydney Newtown Baptist Church. And the first person that I baptized pastored that church for 51 years. And he transitioned to his two sons, Isaiah and Elijah, who became co-pastors of the church. And after all of those years, we started the church in 1966. After all of those years, to see what God has done. I'm 90 years old. I got saved when I was 16 years old. God called me to preach when I was 21 years old. I went to the mission field when I was 31 years old. And I've changed what I was doing so many times. But I've always tried to have an open mind. And when God would say, I want you to do this, I want you to go, I've tried to do that. And I look over 74 years of being saved, nearly 70 years in the ministry, and all I can think of it. By the way, a big part of my life was I got married to Virginia. Ladies, let me tell you a little story, okay? 1954 is the year that I made my commitment to be a preacher. Thanksgiving night, 1954. Now, I don't know why in the world we had services on Thanksgiving night after eating all that turkey and dressing and all those other things. And, nobody was awake, but we had services anyway. Black Oak Baptist Church. And God had been dealing with my heart about being a preacher for a good while. And that night I went forward and I said to Durwood Humble, who was doing altar work, Brother Humble, I know God's called me to be a preacher, but I don't know how in the world I could be a preacher. And he said, "Don, how did you get saved?" I said, "I got saved by the grace of God." He said, "If you ever preach, you'll have to do it by the grace of God." Good advice, 1954. Good advice, 2024. We prayed together that night. Then he told Brother Jones, my pastor, "Don's come forward tonight, committed himself to be a preacher." Brother Jones said, "Don, are you sure God's called you to preach?" And I said, "Yes, sir. I'm sure God's called me to preach." He said, "Okay, you can preach Wednesday night then." It's a big church. I didn't think God called me that soon, amen. Thank God they didn't have recorders back in those days. 3 weeks later, ladies, 3 weeks later, Virginia went forward in a service, and this was her commitment. She said, "Since God has called me to be a preacher, then I want to be the very best wife I can be, so Don can be all that he needs to be." When she went to heaven, July the 8th, 2017, at her memorial service, I could not help but think, if anybody ever kept a commitment, that was a great commitment that she kept. Ladies, men, whatever God speaks, just do it. 70 years of preaching, 90 different countries around the world. And I look back and I thank Dr. Getch. And I remember Dr. Williams one time when we were dedicating one building. He said to me, he said, "Don, don't you wish you were young again?" And I said, "Oh, no, 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 no. I'm not sure I can make it again. I'm just about got it made this round." But I look back over all those years, Dr. Getch, I can't help but think, if I had it to do over again, I'd do it. I thank God that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Have an open mind. Listen to God. God will provide open doors. God will open hearts as we preach, thus saith the word of God.